to focus on. So Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. He said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.'" So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the first two commandments, the greatest two commandments that God has for us. And both of them have to deal with love. And I think if we focus on these two things, that everything else is going to follow. Everything else that matters in the Bible, everything else that God commands us to do is going to follow as long as we obey these two commandments. That's why he gave us these two commandments. And nothing else really matters if you don't have love. This is why this first thing is the most important thing. And I know my grandpa's been preaching through 1 Corinthians 13 on Sunday nights, the love chapter. He's been preaching all about love, and it just has so happened that I'm sort of talking about the same thing. But 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." If you don't have love, nothing else matters. You can do all this great stuff, give to the poor, do all this great stuff, but if you don't actually have love, then none of it really means anything. So love is the first thing. That's a thing that we should focus on before anything else. And I think every single one of us, if we look and ask ourselves, okay, do we really love God with everything, with as much as we possibly could? Do we really love like God like that? And do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And by neighbor, it's not just the people close to you, it's everybody, everybody in your life, everybody in the world. We're called to love as ourselves. And I don't think anybody would be able to hold their hand up and say that they're following both of these to a T. So I think that's why we need to focus on this. That's why I think it's really important. I heard somewhere that there's three kinds of relationships that our purpose as Christians comes down to three kinds of relationships. It's our relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and then also our relationship with creation. And I think that's in order of importance. I think I'm going to be mainly talking about the first two. I think our relationship with God's creation is important. We were called to take care of the earth. Adam was called to watch over all the animals and take care of everything. But I think the first two are the most important because those are the two that are permanent. The earth is going to fade. Everything else in the earth world is going to fade. You can have all the money in the world, the nicest house, the nicest car in the world, but we know that none of that really matters, and you know that none of that's really going to make you happy. So there's really no point. But we say that, and we know these material possessions aren't really going to make us happy, but we still end up chasing all these things. So why do we do that? The main relationships I want to focus on tonight: your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And you guys know this. What is our purpose as a Christian? Glorify God. And what better way can we glorify God than doing what he told us to do? And this is the most important thing. He said this is the most important thing that we can do. So that's the most important way that we can glorify God. So that's why I think the way we follow these two commandments and these relationships is the most important thing. The most important thing about us is human beings. So I'm going to be talking about four different types of love, four different types of love. You'll see. And the very first one is Christ's love for us. Christ's love for us. I'm going to be all over the Bible, kind of. You can either flip there or just follow along, listen to what I say. But John chapter 15, verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So why should we love God in the first place? Why should we love God? Well, you know the old song you sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." We need to realize how much God really loves us. It says if you look down a few verses, in verse 13, I believe, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. And that's what Jesus did for us. There's nothing else you can do to show that you love for me than to give up your life, for somebody. And Jesus did that willingly. He didn't have to die on the cross. He had every opportunity in the world to just get off of there. He didn't have to do it, but he stayed up there because of love. Love is what kept him up there because of how much he loves us. And it says, even as the Father has loved him, that's how he loves us. So the love that God has for his son is the same love that he has for us. Just think about that for a second. I don't have any kids, but I feel like that the love that a parent has for their kid is just the strongest type of love you can imagine. And God is saying that he loves us the same way that he loves his sons. And it says, if we keep his commandments, we'll abide in his love. Now, that doesn't mean that God loves some people more than others. God loves everybody on the world the exact same. Every single one of you, God loves you the exact same. But some of us are experiencing that love more than others. That's what it means. If you keep your commandments, you're going to abide in his love. That doesn't mean he's going to love you only if you keep his commandments, but that means you'll experience that love. So how do we experience the love? Well, it tells you keeping his commandments. And speaking of keeping his commandments, we're going over the two greatest commandments right here. So I think that's the biggest first step right there. And I think the best way to experience God's love is intercession. Just your personal relationship with God. I preached on it before, just the intimacy with Christ, just the time that you have with Christ alone. I think that is one of the most important things you can do, is to have that close relationship, that super close time carved out to spend with God. And I'm gonna keep bringing that up several times tonight, because I think that's the most important thing, and I think that's a lot of Christians are neglecting that. And you know, I've told you my story, how like I've been in church my whole life, and like none of it was, I don't know how to explain it. None of it really, it was not really powerful until about a year ago when I really started to spend more close time with God. That's what really changed my life. And I still, I have that just time set out. I'm really busy, especially this time of year. I just have a lot of things going on. But I always go out every morning, and I'll go out, I'll get myself a cup of black coffee. I just started drinking black coffee. I actually like the taste of it. And I go sit out on the front porch and sip on my black coffee. You might as well call me an old man. But I go out there, and I have this really good devotion book. I've seen several of them, but none of them are like this one. It's just, it's really good. And I'll read just a page of that, just one page, just a short page, a short little read. But there's just so much stuff in there for you to think about. And I'll sit there sipping on my coffee, thinking about that, and just spending time with God. And I look forward to that. I think that's my favorite time of the day, honestly. Just it's so amazing, and it doesn't really take that much of an effort to do, but it's just so easy to neglect. It's an unexplainable feeling, just that feeling of closeness with God. If you've never experienced that, then I really can't explain it to you. You have to know it for yourself. But I think that closeness with God is the most important thing, and I think that's the foundation for following all the rest of this stuff. You're not going to get the rest of this stuff unless you don't have that close relationship with God. So that's why I'm going to keep bringing it up throughout the message. But I'll go ahead and talk about my second point, which is, we talked about Christ's love for us. Now we're going to talk about our love for Christ. 1 Peter 1:8, it says, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, joy unspeakable, by the way, I think that's the best way to describe the joy, because there is no way to describe it. It's unspeakable. You can only know it if you've actually experienced it yourself. And so, you know, we always look at the early church, and we look at, like, the book of Acts, the way the church spread. The early church spread, thousands of people coming into the church, thousands of people getting saved every single day. And we look at that and we're like, why was that the case then and it's not the case now? What's the difference? And a lot of people will say, well, they had Jesus in the person, and a lot of those people got to see Jesus, they got to see Jesus in the flesh. So that's why. But no, that's not really the case. See, Jesus, he'd already gone up into heaven by this time. By the time Peter and Paul and all them were preaching to all these people, and most of the people, like the disciples actually saw Jesus, but most of the people that were being saved at this time, they weren't seeing Jesus. They never really saw Jesus. But what they had is something that we have today, and it's much more powerful than Jesus in the flesh. And I think that every single one of us here can have a closer relationship with God than the disciples did that were talking to Jesus. The disciples that talked to Jesus, they saw him every day. They lived with him. They ate with him. They did everything with Jesus. They did everything with Jesus as a person. But I think that me and you can have a closer relationship with God than the day they did. Why is that? Because we have something much more powerful, and it's called the Holy Spirit. I was given at the Pentecost, and instead of having Jesus as a person, we can have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that's much more powerful than just Jesus was. And that's why the church spreads so. That's why the early church spread so much. But there's no reason that that can't happen today. So our love for Christ. What actually is love? I need to define what love is for a minute. It's not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. It's an action. See, anybody can sit there and say, you can sit there and say that you love anybody. Anybody can sit there and they say that they love God. But what does that actually mean if you're just going to say it and you're not going to do anything about it? Love has to be an action. You actually have to actually show it. And that's where serving God comes into play. That's how you actually show God that you love him, is keeping his commandments and serving him. And not only serving God, but also taking pleasure in doing it. You're not doing it because you feel like you're being forced to or just out of obligation. You're doing it because you actually take pleasure in serving God. I'm not doing this because I feel like I have to, but I'm doing this because I actually like doing it. And I love serving God, and I feel like that's what it's all about. But I think there's two ends of the spectrum. You have people that'll just say that they love God, and they'll sit in church and not really do anything. So their love doesn't really mean anything because they're not really doing anything about it. But on the other hand, you have people that actually are doing stuff for God, but they don't want to. They're doing it like they don't really want to do it. They're like, oh boy, they're calling for people in the nursery. They keep begging people every Sunday, people to go up and work in the nursery. So I guess I'll go up there and deal with those little kids, man, the stuff that I do. They'll just do stuff. Man, they need somebody to mow the grass. It hasn't been mowed in a month, so I guess I'll go down there and waste my time mowing that grass so they'll stop begging me to. See, that's God's not going to honor that because there's no love in that. Amen. So you have to serve God. You have to do stuff for God, but you have to do it out of joy, out of loving him. And I think it's the same way with tithing and giving money to the church. You shouldn't do it out of obligation because He told us, Jesus said to give with a joyful spirit. Give because you have an abundance and you're just giving back to Christ. Giving back for the way he's blessed you. You shouldn't feel bad about it. You shouldn't be upset that you're doing that. You should be happy about it because you should give with a joyful spirit. And I think some people say if you don't feel like doing it, if you don't feel like giving, you should still give. But I don't really think that's honoring God's commandment. I think you have to have a joyful spirit in doing it. Well, how do we have a joyful spirit? How do we have this love for Christ? Well, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier, the intercession, having that close relationship with him. That is what's really going to solve everything else in here. So the reason that people aren't serving God, the reason that we have, that we're up here begging for people to help for all this stuff, the reason that there's just a lack of people serving God, it's not because everybody's too busy or they don't have any time. That's the excuse they're going to use, but that's not the actual reason. I mean, I'm really busy, especially this time of year, just with school and sports and trying to work occasionally. Everything else, trying to do. I get really busy, but I still carve out that time every day to have with God, and I'm still looking for ways to serve God. Really, nobody, you just have to cut out all the stuff that's useless. Like, when you think about your day, the stuff you do in a day, there's so much stuff that is not adding any value. It's not adding any value to the life. Just sitting there and watching TV, it's not adding any value to your life. And if that's what's coming in front of your commitment to God, then that's a serious problem. And it just needs to be cut out. I've had to cut out a lot of things just because I don't have the time. So, but God, if God really is your number one priority, that's not going to be what's cut out. So the reason that people aren't serving God, it's not because they don't have time, it's because they don't have a love for Christ. And talk about loving Christ. You know, like I said earlier, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. And I think the ultimate way of showing your love to God is like martyrs. And I always think of the girl from Columbine. You know, it's crazy. They go, like, all the time. They come to our school and, like, do a whole presentation about it. Rachel and, like, they tell us all about it, but they don't ever mention the fact that she was a Christian. And the reason that she got killed was because she wouldn't deny Christ. The guys came up and said, they knew she was a big Christian. They came up and asked her to deny Christ, and she said no, so they shot her. But they always leave that part out. They just, they focus on other stuff. But I think the fact that people have that love, that much love for Christ, it just can't be fake. It's something that can't be fake. Love is the one thing that cannot be fake. You can't fake love. You can tell somebody that you love them, but you can't fake it. So we see that, our love for Christ, and then the next thing is our love for others. So far we've only talked about the first part of the commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to love God with everything. But the second part is, I think, just as important, really. John 13, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And, you know, Paul said that if we have love for one another, we've basically followed all the commandments. We've basically kept the whole law. In Romans 13, verse 8, it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of your law, the fulfilling of the law." If you have love for others, if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you're not going to break any of the commandments. You're just not. We have to follow Christ's example and love others unconditionally. And it's not just loving the people, not just, when I say neighbor, I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. I'm not just talking about the people close to you. I'm talking about everybody in the world. God called us to love everybody in the world. See, it's easy to love our friends and our family. Well, sometimes. I mean, they can definitely get on your nerves, but at the end of the day, in most cases, it's your family, so you're still going to love them. But what about all those random people? What about just everybody you see in the grocery store, walking down the street, the people when you're driving down the road, they zoom up in the right lane and pass you, and then they get over and they slow way down. Or the 18-wheeler that's driving in the left lane is going 10 under the speed limit. I could tell you so many different road rage stories. Don't get me started. It's ridiculous. See, I'm normally a pretty calm guy. I feel like most people would agree that most of the time I'm pretty laid back. But when I drive, it just gets my blood pressure up. You guys didn't hear any of this. I'm not the problem. It's everybody else. All the other crowd. People are maniacs. But you have to have love for those people. And love. What about love? What about loving your enemies? We can sit here and say, I love them no matter what. But yeah, I think I'm obviously not perfect, but I do think that I'm pretty good at forgiving people. I don't really hold grudges against people, but maybe that's just because nobody's really done anything to me that's bad enough for me to hold a grudge against them. But imagine somebody raped your daughter and then murdered them. How would you feel about that person? Would you have love for that person that did that? They did a horrible thing. Would you be able to love that person? He said, "No, you're crazy. There's no way. That person doesn't deserve to be loved." But see, God expects us to love that person. How can we do it? How can we love somebody that's done something like that? Well, see, God expects us to, but he also knows that we can't do it. You can't love somebody like that. Why would God expect us to do that if we can't do it? Because he has to do it through us. See, when God tells us to love our neighbors, he's not asking us to do it. He's asking us for us to allow him to love others through us. That's the only way we can love other people. That's what sets us apart as Christians. That's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. See, you don't necessarily have to be a Christian to be a good person. There's some of the nicest people in the world, the nicest people that I know, that are lost as Hogan's goat, like Randy would say. But and then there's also so many Christians that have just, or so-called Christians, that just have terrible attitudes towards people, and they're some of the grumpiest people in the world. So what is it that sets Christians apart? What is it that makes Christians different? Well, what should be, what I'm telling you that should be the difference is the love that the Christians show to everybody else. The love, the unconditional love that you show to everybody. And it's not from you, it's from God. That's why God has to be living through you. And that's why, like I said before, you have to have that close relationship with God, that intercession, that close time with God. And see, that's just going to improve every other area of your life. I think that's so important. So many Christians neglect that. And I've said it several times, and I'm going to keep saying it several times because I think it's so important. That's what's going to allow us to love others the way that Jesus loves. So let me ask you this. If a transgender person walked through the church, what do you think the reaction would be of the church? I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I could probably say this in most churches in America, but I don't think they would feel very welcome. They'd probably get a lot of strange looks, but how do you think Jesus would respond to that person? You know, I always think of the woman at the well. See, do you think Jesus, somebody like that walking the church, do you think Jesus would be, you know, not even go up and talk to him? Nobody go up and talk to him and say, hey, welcome to church. We're glad to have you here tonight. Have a conversation with them. You think Jesus would sit there and ignore him and give him strange looks and sit there and judge him in his head? No, I think of the woman at the well. You see, the Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other. And I think it's the same way today, except it's not the Jews and the Samaritans, it's the Christians in the secular world. I think there's so much hatred there from both sides. See, the world is always going to hate, the lost world is always going to hate Christianity. And, you know, they might tolerate it to a certain extent, but there's always going to be a lot of hatred there. But I think there's a lot of hatred from the other side too, and that needs to stop, because we are the ones that are supposed to be separated. We're the ones that's supposed to lead by example. How is anybody gonna come and accept Christ if we're just so hateful towards everybody else? See, Jesus, he went specifically through Samaria, and all his disciples called him crazy. Like, what are you doing? They're all sinners. We don't associate with those people. They're Samaritans. We're Jews. We don't go through there. They're sinners. Jesus, I think he basically said, you know, the Pharisees were getting mad at him because he was spending too much time with sinners. But he said, you know, the sick ones are the ones that need a doctor, not the healthy ones. So that's who I'm going to minister to, is the ones that lost, the ones that need him. So why are we going to sit here, sit in our little bubble of Christians and just judge the outside world and make fun of them for their sins when we know good and well that they need Jesus Christ just as much as anybody else? Everybody else needs Jesus Christ the exact same. So what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit there and make fun of them, or are we actually going to share Christ to them? If you actually love them, then you would share Christ to him. And I'll get to that. That'll be my next point. But like I said, the hatred needs to stop, because that's the only way that the outside world is going to tell a difference in the church, is the way that we love others. I think, my whole goal in life is just to show love to everybody else, not my love, but the love of Christ through me. Allow Christ to love others through me in a way that's unexplainable. You just couldn't explain it in any other way except for Jesus Christ. And that's how people are going to be won to Christ. You're never going to win anybody to Christ through intellect. Like, you can sit there and just try to argue with them about all the just all the facts around the resurrection and just everything like that. And you go into all the evidences about that. And I think there's plenty of it. But that's never going to win somebody to Christ. People don't care how much they know People don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. See, the way that people are going to be won is through love. And not just the unconditional love of God. That's what's necessary. Unconditional love of God that can't be explained in any other way. So I'll go on to my last point, and that is love for souls. Love for souls. So we talked about love for others, and I think there's so much division. First of all, division inside the church, and that definitely needs to stop. We don't need to have any hatred inside the church. That's absolutely ridiculous. Just over petty things. People get so upset. We need to put all that aside. If we have God inside of us, we're going to love him. And see, I keep saying this, and I keep going back to the part about that intercession, that close relationship with God, because that's actually the root of the problem. See, all of us try to focus on the symptoms of the problems and be like, we just need to be nicer to people. No, you just need to get closer to God, and then God's going to love them through you. Instead of trying to love them yourselves, let God love them through you, and that's going to be way more powerful. That's what we actually need to do. So James 5:20, it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We're able to save a soul from everlasting death. How does that sound? We're able, by winning people to Christ, able to save a soul from everlasting death. I believe that's the most important thing that we can do. And it's not only for pastors to do, by the way. It's not only for pastors and evangelists to do. Everybody is called to go out and preach the gospel. That's exactly what Brian was talking about this morning, exactly evangelism. And everybody has that calling, whether you're gifted in public speaking or whatever. There are ways, if you truly have that love for souls, you're not going to worry about what anybody thinks about you. You're not going to be worried about getting rejected. I mean, come on now. It's ridiculous to sit here and not tell somebody about Jesus because you're worried that you're going to get rejected. You're worried about what they're going to think about you. You're acting like a sixth grader that's trying to be the most popular kid in the school that's worried about what everybody thinks about him. Like, nobody cares. And if you really have love for people's souls, just think about it. Everybody, no matter what they've done, they could be a terrible person, but they still have a soul. And if you really love that person, and if you truly believe that they're on their way to hell and Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to save them from that, then why wouldn't you share that with them? What if you truly love them, then what would stop you from sharing that with them? And yet, that's one of the things that, like, Christians never do. If you ask somebody that's been saved 20 years, how many people have you witnessed to? It's for most people, it's going to be a really, really low number. So why is that? The most important thing that we can do here on earth. Why did God leave us here on earth? Why didn't we just call straight up into heaven when we got saved? So we could share the gospel with other people. That's the most important thing we could be doing it, and yet nobody's doing it. But the majority of us are not doing it. And if you just be honest with yourself, this is an area you could definitely get better with. Definitely get better in. So this is also how revivals are started. It doesn't start with the pastor. Most revivals, they don't start with the pastor or anything like that. They start with the people getting on fire for God and going out and telling others about him. That's all these famous revivals that you hear about. It's the people they're overflowed with the love of God. Romans 5:5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart through what? Through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. See, if we're saved and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we have that close relationship, we're going to have so much love that we just can't help but to share Christ with others, and we can't help just to show that love to others. And you say, if you're worried about sharing God with others, that's another thing. If you're worried about doing it, then, well, you probably need to focus on your relationship with God and having that close relationship with God. I'm going to keep going back to that over and over. I preach a whole message on it. I could preach all day about that because I think that's the most important thing. And just so many Christians neglect that. I mean, if you don't take anything else away from me, anything I say ever is just, if you're a Christian, focusing on that intimate, close relationship with God is the most important thing that you can do. It's going to change your life in so many ways. And, another thing, I'm not sitting up here preaching that God, you know, God is love and he's just going to overlook all your sins. I'm not Joel Osteen up here just trying to make you guys feel good about yourselves. God is love. God loves you no matter what, which he does. But he can't overlook your sin. He's a just God. He's going to judge you for your sins. But he loves you enough to offer a way out of that sins, offer that forgiveness in Jesus Christ, which is going to fill the void that everybody has in their heart. See, people look to these people like Joel Osteen, and he's saying, he's basically saying, give me your money and God's going to bless you. That doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. If you really want to be blessed by God, then allow Jesus Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to love others through you. And that's going to be the blessing in and of itself. It's not going to be a bunch of material possessions, because you know that's not going to make you happy anyways. Christ loving others through you is a blessing in and of itself. And that's what we should focus on. But like I said, God still has to judge people for your sins. But luckily, he loved us enough to give us a way out of that. So in closing, I just want to say that if you don't have a relationship with God, period, then it's going to change your life in so many ways that I can't explain, that can only be explained. It can't be explained. You have to feel it for yourself to believe it. And I feel like the only way that we can get people to believe that is by showing them this love. And I myself need to do a lot better job of that. And I have a long ways to go with that. And yes, I do spend some time with God, and it's amazing time. It's like I said, it's the best part of my day. It's just an unexplainable feeling. But I think a lot of us neglect that, and I myself can neglect it too, because I get so busy, just caught up in life, and then I just make excuses for why I can't do it. I have to do it every morning, because if I don't do it in the morning, then it's probably not going to happen, because I'll just make an excuse to not do it. So I have to specifically get up in the morning, and even then there's times where I'll wake up and I'm like, I'm tired, it's not that important, because it's just so easy to neglect, but it's the most important thing, because that's how we live the Christ life. See, we can't live a Christian life. It's impossible to live the Christian life in the flesh. God has to do it through you. That's Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ has to live through you. And the way you let him do that is that close communion with him, and also keeping his commandments, because you can't just have this sin in your life that you're just ignoring and saying, if I just have this one sin and I'm doing everything else right, then it's going to be fine. You have to cut out everything. And if you truly love Jesus enough, then it shouldn't be a problem, but it is, because we still have the flesh, and you're still going to fight against that. That's why it's a constant struggle until we get up to heaven. The Christian life is a constant struggle. You just have to surrender, and you have to give it all to God. So, like I said, if you need that relationship with Christ, and I think that it's going to change your life in so many ways. And I think if you already are saved, and you're not spending this close time with God, just this time where you get down alone. And you'll know if you're doing this or not. You can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to yourself, and you can't lie to God. And it's going to be obvious, because if you truly have the love of God in your life, then it's going to show. You can't hide it, and you can't fake it. It's going to show if you truly have that in your life. And like I said, I'm nowhere near perfect, and I shouldn't be the example here. I mean, I'm nowhere near perfect in that, but I'm trying to get better in it just by cutting out sins in my life and spending more time with God. And it's really incredible, but it's just so easy to neglect, like I said. But, yeah, like I said, my whole goal in life is just to love others, allow Christ to love others through me, and just let people see that it's real. But let people see that there's no other way to explain it than the love of Christ. So that's about all I've got to say for today. I just want to encourage you guys to think about this. Like I said at the very beginning, it's just your relationship with Christ. That's the most important thing. Get that right and everything else will follow. And then focus on loving others, loving them as yourselves. But you can only do that through Christ. And then if you do that, then everything else in the Bible is going to follow. We can sit here and go every law, every Ten Commandments, everything else in the Bible. We can, nitpick everything. We can argue about whether we're allowed to do this or whether we're not allowed to do that. If you just love Christ like you should and love others as you should, none of that should be a problem. Because like Paul said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So if you truly have that love, then you're not going to sin against anybody else. So that's about all I've got to say. So I can turn it over to whoever. Paul, you can come up.